course, let's read that one again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we talk about this subject of victory over the world. We know that the Satan has a system called the world that he set up to entrap us and to ensnare us into what he would have us to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us the understanding and the wisdom, Lord, to know that we've got the power to overcome in the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for giving us the victory already. We just have to claim it and walk in it on a daily basis. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. 1 John chapter number 5, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to take my jacket off here. Amen. And world. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. If you had to give a simple definition of the word world, talking about Satan's system, what would you say? A simple definition. What is the world? What is the world? Simple definition. Rose?
Control.
Okay. What else? Search. Antichrist. Amen. Simple definition. What would you say? World. That which appeals to the desires of the flesh. Amen. Simple definition. These are all good. World. Because there's more than one definition for the world. Amen. And by the way, does it always have to be sinful? No.
No, it doesn't.
No, doesn't have to always be sinful. Is it sometimes sinful? Yes.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to always be sinful. Okay. By the way, can a good thing be considered a thing of the world? Yes, a good thing can be considered a thing of the world. Amen. And so that's one of the things you got to look at. So the world, we're going to look at that here in just a minute. But let's discover the verse first of all. Now, are you Brother Givens?
Yes, sir.
Brother-in-law, right?
Yes, sir.
And sister. Okay. I met you in Belgium, right?
Not Belgium. My mom was in Belgium.
Your mom was in Belgium. Okay. Jeff Givens is a guy that got saved over in Belgium and was in the church at Belgium. We got to know him very, very well. That's his sister and brother-in-law. And give us your names again.
Terry and Michelle.
Terry and Michelle. And you guys are members of Brother Ted Patterson's church right there, Jay. Amen. Brother Ted Patterson, remember, was the first guy to preach in this church, as a matter of fact, before we even bought it. Amen. So good to have you guys with us today. Now, you're on your 20th anniversary. And Jeff bought that for you guys, right?
Yes.
Man, I need to have a brother-in-law like that. Yeah. Man, and you guys got a chance to go to Grand Canyon yesterday and all that? Praise God. Amen. Praise. I'm going to adopt myself into the family. Amen. Get me some. I've been married over 30 years. And surely he can give me something. Amen. Brother Givens is a dear brother, and I love him. And his family's here with us today. So what a blessing. All right. So we're talking about victory over the world. We're in lesson six. Lesson number six, and talking about the world. So we'll look at several things this morning just in the introduction dealing with this. But let's look at the verse here first of all, because you notice it says victory over the world. And notice how the verse reads in verse number one. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I want to give you some things here, because there's some conditions here that need to be met. There's some conditions here that need to be met. Now, notice it says, whosoever believeth in that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is that just a one and done? That easy believism? Because a lot of people say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Does that make them saved? No, it doesn't. Notice the continual action verb. Whosoever believeth. That means not only have they believed at one time, they are still believing now, and they will believe in the future. That's a continual action verb. So this person is continuing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, notice another continual action verb, TH. That means not only did you love him then, you love him now, and you will love him in the future, because there are a lot of people that start out, but they don't hold out. Does that mean that they're not saved? Well, we're not to judge of people's hearts, but the Bible says by their fruits, ye shall know them. And so, T-H, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begatten of him. Talking about loving Jesus and loving God. Now, notice what it says. By this we know that we love the children of God. So he said, now, if you're loving Jesus and you're loving God, you should love the children of God. In other words, you should love everybody else that's saved.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You should. Now, you might not always agree with them.
Right.
But you should love them. Amen. You might not always agree with your brother and sister at home that you were born with. I'm sure, sister, you didn't always agree with Brother Jeff. Amen. But she had to love him.
Yes,
I didn't always agree with my sisters, but I had to love them.
Yeah.
Amen. So he says now, by this we know that we love the children of God. By what? When we love God and keep his commandments. Okay. Now, what were some of his commandments? Go back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 38. Because he's saying that we should love the brother. Matthew 22 and verse 38. Who's there that can read that for me? Matthew 22, 38. Got this new Bible. Bev, you there?
This is the first commandment. This is the first and great commandment.
Amen. This is the first and great commandment. Now, what did First John just say over there? He says, now, when we love God and keep his commandments. Okay. Now, you come back over here. He said, this is the first and great commandment. What is that commandment? He says that, excuse me, did I start too early? I did start too soon. Amen. Okay, verse 37. I'm sorry. Well, I started too soon. Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Now, why was that? Because verse 36, the question was answered. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now, what did John say back there? When we love God and keep his commandments. Now, the first commandment is to love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul. All right? And John said this, for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Okay? And what does he say? And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's your brother. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so, based upon what Jesus said and based upon what John is writing, we should love the brethren and we should keep the commandments. And the commandments are down to two, loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and loving the brother as ourselves. Okay. Now, by the way, that is the start of you having victory over the world.
Yes, sir.
That's the start. Because guess what? God is so diametrically opposed to the world. If I'm loving God, I'm far away from the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that, Pastor.
Now, if my brother is of God, he should be diametrically opposed to the world as well. We know that's not always the case. Amen. But he should be. And my job should be helping him to love God more.
Yes, sir.
By pointing to God with my life and my lips. Okay? So that's going to be the help that we find here that John is giving us right off the bat. He says, now, if you're really saved, if you're really born of God, and then you're going to love the brother and you're going to keep God's commandments. And he said his commandments are not grievous. By the way, the word grievous there means weighty, burdensome, heavy. So in other words, he said it shouldn't be weighty, heavy, or burdensome for you to do right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Is it weighty sometime to come to church? Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Is it burdensome sometimes? Yeah, the flesh gets weak.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you so glad that we've got the spirit that overrides that? Amen.
Amen.
We get sick. We get weary. So sometimes because of the flesh, we get weary. We get burdened. And we think, man, it's a chore. And that's when you have to shift gears and say, Spirit, take over and do for me what I need to do.
Yes, sir.
That I really don't want to do.
Sound good.
How many of y'all got snooze buttons on your clocks? How many hit it more than once in the morning? Twice? Three times? Four times? Amen. Brother, what time do you set it for? Amen. Most snoozes go off about every 10 or 15 minutes. So if you don't set it just right where you can snooze it, amen, you can't snooze it, amen. And I set mine so that I can snooze it. And it makes me think I'm getting extra sleep. It's a mind over matter type of thing. And I don't mind, so it don't matter, amen. So it's just one of those things, amen. So what John is saying here, then, when it comes to the world, then, there are some commandments that God has. And the first commandment is to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it, we should love our neighbor. So he says, starting back in verse number one, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begatten of him. That's Jesus and God. By this we know that we love the children of God, that's the people of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And we know one of the commandments is to love the brethren. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So God says, if you love me, you need to keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 14, I believe it is, or 15. Yep. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments.
Okay. And so he says down there, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Notice the continual action verb again. Not only have you already overcome the world, and not only are you presently overcoming the world, you're going to continue to overcome the world. Why? We love God. We keep his commandments. And his commandments aren't grievous. And so that's going to give us the ability to be a victor over the world. Why? Because God hates the worldly system. And if I'm loving God, I can't be tied up in it.
That's right.
By the way, God has a way of getting the world out of you. It'll destroy you or you'll get rid of it. One of the two. Amen. And they got all these things out there. Smoking causes cancer, sclerosis of the liver when you drink too much, the ruin of drugs and all these other things. I mean, if you don't want to listen to God, then the devil has a system that'll just annihilate your body. And he just will do that. Amen. And so he says down there, for whatsoever is born of God. And of course, verse one said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is what? Born of God, so that's us. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, continue action verb, amen. And this is the victory that overcometh, continual action verb, TH, the world, even our what? Faith. So it's what we believe in that's going to get us to overcome the world. Now, by the way, you can believe in a rock and you're not going to have a victory.
That's right, Pastor. That is right.
So it's what we put our faith in. Now, if you don't put your faith in the right thing, you're not going to have victory.
That's right,
amen. I can put my faith in bonbons and chocolate cake and cookies and eat that all the time and say I'm going to be a great runner. Only thing I'm going to be is a great blob. Then I get out there and say, all right, I'm going to race. Amen. I put my faith in chocolate bonbons and cookies and sweet stuff and all your marks, get set, go. Man, I may go for about 10 steps and I'm going to die. But now somebody else has put their faith in working out, eating right, and exercising and things of that nature. And guess what? They're going to be a lot more productive than I am. So it's what we put our faith in.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
If we don't put our faith in Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? We are destined to lose. But he says, you know, if we have our faith in the right thing, in the right person, in the right place, then we can have victory. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, so what we believe. Who is he that overcometh, continual action verb. By the way, the word overcometh means to get the victory, to subdue, to prevail or conquer. Overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, question mark. So he gets us started off with letting us know in these opening verses of chapter 5 that it's who you believe in that's going to help you to become a victor. It's your love for God and his commandments that you keep is going to make you the victor. It's your love for your brother that's going to help set you apart from the world.
Yes, sir.
Those are the things that are going to help you to be the overcomer because we should be together because we're running the same race.
That's right.
Now, we're not all running with the same stride, but we are still running for the same person. That's Jesus Christ. So with that said, he gives us these conditions that we apply to our lives. And he says his commandments are not grievous. By the way, why should the commandments not be grievous? Why should they not be grievous to us? Rose? Remember who we're doing it for? We're doing it for God, not man. Okay, why else? Why should the commandments not be grievous?
Promises abundant life.
Promises abundant life, amen. Ms. Dawson? It's for our own protection and welfare. That's one of the greatest reasons right there. Why do you tell your children to do what they do? For their protection, for their good. You don't tell them, go stand in the middle of the street and get hit by a bus. You say, look, I want you to get some rest. Hey, I want you to have a good diet. Hey, I want you to go to school. Hey, I want you to obey, knowing that that's going to be for their good. So the commandments shouldn't be grievous because they help us. By the way, you know, we have this misnomer that we're helping God. Are we helping God by keeping his commandments? We not help. God doesn't need no help. And he definitely don't need sinful help like us. Amen. He doesn't need our help. We are doing ourselves a favor by obeying the commands. But we have this idea that I'm helping God. God could exist quite well without us. He did it for many, many years. Amen. Folks say, well, if I don't do this, God's not going to get my help. God would love your help, but he doesn't need your help. He would love our help, but he doesn't need it. Amen. So never look at it like you're doing God a favor by keeping his commandments. You're doing yourself a favor. You think about the Ten Commandments. I mean, the first four deal with your relationship with God and how you worship God. The next six deal with your relationship to man. Now, if you mess up on those next six, you can go to jail. You can go to jail real quick. Amen. So that helps not only you, but it helps your brother. OK, and that's why he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul. He says, that's the first great commandment. He said, next one, love thy neighbor. As I said, why? The rest of those deal with your relationship with others. And you think about the pivotal one, number five. Honor thy father and thy mother.
Yes, sir.
It's our goal and our role as parents to raise children up. To be productive citizens, to be good Christians. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So the opening verse does set the stage for what we need to believe back there in 1 John. Amen. Let's go back there. 1 John. You might be still in Matthew. All right. 1 John chapter 5. I need to go back there. All right. Y'all bear with me. And Brother Scott, I haven't officially retired my old Bible, but I'm trying to break in my new Bible. And so it's tough turning pages here. I was tempted to bring it this morning just because I didn't want to fumble. Amen. All right. So the memory the verses here, we've got those down. Amen. So everybody understand what he's talking about. Amen. You believe because it's going to dictate your behavior. And if you believe right, you're going to behave right according to what he's saying here. And your commandments, the commandments are going to be kept because we love God, and he's going to tell us to love the brethren as well. And they're not going to be grievous. And if we are born of God, we have the ability now to overcome the world. Does it automatically make us overcomers?
No.
You have the ability now to be an overcomer. Okay. Just because I exercise and eat right doesn't mean I'm going to automatically win the race. I've got to go out and do all the proper techniques. I've got to do all the proper things. Amen. If they say go and I don't go and say, hey, I won, they're going to say, guess what? You didn't even start. So just because I do all the right things to get in the race doesn't mean a hill of beans. Amen. I've got to do what it takes to win the race.
Amen, Pastor.
All right. So let's look at your overview you've got there. And we're going to talk about that here just for a few minutes and hopefully talk about some things here. It says Christians are leaving their faith for the love of the world. How many would agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, it's not the only reason they're leaving, but that's why some are leaving. All of us need to be aware of the battle between following Christ and following the world. By the way, the spirit in us is attracted to the word of God. The flesh is attracted to the world. Okay, Brother Scott said it best. The world system is designed to attract your flesh. It has no pull on your spirit whatsoever. Your spirit wants nothing to do with the world. It is so repulsed by the world, it's a shame. So the spirit in you has no parts in the world. But now the spirit is housed in your flesh.
That's right, Pastor.
And you will take the spirit with you when you go into the world. And it's God's goodness and God's grace that convicts you to help bring you out of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Because the spirit doesn't leave you. Hallelujah and praise God.
Yes, sir.
I'm so glad the spirit doesn't say, well, you want to go over there? You're going over there. I'm staying over here. And you go over and do your business. I'm glad the spirit goes with me to say, you know, this ain't right. I mean, the first day I got saved, February 3rd, 1991. I mean, I got saved, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, man. Pastor Bennett was preaching the word of God. I was saved, went home and took that bottle and opened up that first beer and threw that thing down. The spirit said, now, you know, that ain't even right.
Yeah. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And I thought, nobody ever said that before. Guess what? I had somebody took up residence in me. I open up that second one. Now, you know that ain't right either.
That's right.
Third and fourth and fifth. That ain't right. That ain't right. And he kept telling me, that ain't right. That ain't right. And I felt miserable.
Yes,
I felt miserable. And I thought, this ain't even fun. What am I doing? There ain't no fun in this at all. Guess what? I had to get that up. Now what happened? Somebody took up residence inside and said, that's not right. He didn't say, well, now if you want to drink that, I'm going to sit over in the corner and wait for you. Now when you get ready, I'll come back over there, but yeah, I'm going to stay right on over here. No. He went right over there to the refrigerator. When I went in there, and as I was reaching for it, he said, now what you think you're doing? And I said, I'm about to get this beer. He said, that's not right.
Oh, no.
And I said, he said, now you feel bad, don't you? And I did. And I took some more. I said, well, maybe if I drink some more, I'll feel good. Mm-hmm. The more I drank, the worse I felt. And that's no lie. The more I drank, the worse I felt. Why? That was a part of the world that I once knew. The Holy Spirit came in and said, now I'm going to teach you a new world that you're a part of now and give you something new. So Christians are leaving their faith for the love of the world. All of us need to be aware of the battle between following Christ and following the world. By the way, is it a real battle? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The spirit versus the flesh is a very, very real battle. Notice it says it is impossible to do both. Here, go over to Romans chapter 8 and show you the real struggle that we face with this battle. Romans chapter number 8. And I don't know about you, but I struggled with sin after I got saved. I had no problem with sin before I got saved. Had no problem. Didn't bother me a bit. My conscience may bother me a little bit, but I could sleep just as well.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8. Let's notice down here in verse number 5. And verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Unfortunately for you and I, we've got both, the flesh and the Spirit. Oops, keep beating up my clock up here. Notice verse number 6. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded or to think after the world is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He says, now you want life and peace? Yeah, man, you need to be after the Spirit. Follow the Spirit, you'll be fine. Amen. By the way, when you are in the flesh, you should struggle.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. You should struggle. If you don't struggle in the flesh, how can you say that you're saved?
That's right, Pastor. That is right.
Because the Spirit of God in you is not going to let you get away with sin. He ain't going to let you. No more than a parent will let their child get away with sin.
That's right.
You're not going to let your parent. You're going to scold that child. You're going to get on that child. You're going to remind that child. You're going to do something with that child and say, that's not right. What parents going to watch their child doing wrong and say, good, Johnny, good, Johnny? No, they're not going to say that. That parent, if they're a good parent, are going to say, hey, that's not right.
That's right, Pastor, that's right.
And so if you don't have a struggle when you're in sin or in the flesh, then you're not saved. I can say that with confidence because you ought to. Or either you're so worldly minded, you forgot that you were saved.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
According to 1 Peter. All right, notice verse number 7. Because the carnal mind or the fleshly mind is enmity against God. That word enmity means hatred or hostility, opposition. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So in other words, what he's saying is your carnal mind or your fleshly mind is not subject to do what God wants it to do. It cannot be. They are going in opposite directions. So your flesh does not want to do anything spiritual. Nothing. It don't want to come to church. Don't want to read his Bible. Don't want to tell the truth. Doesn't want to do anything. And he says down there, it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. No more than the devil wants to be subject to God. Now, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But that day is not yet. And notice what he says in verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot do what?
Please God.
Does God want us to have victory over the world?
Yes.
If I'm in the flesh, I cannot have victory over the world.
No, we cannot.
I cannot. If I'm in the flesh, I cannot because I refuse to keep his what? Commandments. And so if I refuse to keep his commandments, then I can't please him. That means I'm going to be in the world. Notice what he goes on to say. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God, so you're not saved.
That's right.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So in other words, when you and I got baptized, we did this. We pictured the body dead with Christ, buried with Christ, but raised to walk in the newness of life. And so we have a visual picture of baptism saying that the old man is dead, the new man is alive to walk after Christ. That's the picture that baptism gives us. And so he says, if that is the case, then you have what it takes to walk for God. Notice what it says in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, Holy Spirit, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the what? Flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So he said, you need to put the deeds of your body to death.
Yes, sir.
And let the Spirit live through you. Well, the Spirit always chooses right through us. Always. 100% of the time, the Spirit will choose right. Will we choose right in and of ourselves? No. We may stumble across it and do it once upon a time. Amen. When it's convenient. But the Spirit's going to do it when it's not convenient. So the whole battle going on here over the world is the Spirit against your flesh. And what attracts your flesh? The world.
The world does.
The world. Mm-hmm. The world's system is designed to attract your flesh and my flesh. Mm-hmm. That's its whole design. Amen. Now notice what it says in here in your book again. It says in the overview, Christians are leaving their faith for the love of the world. All of us need to be aware of the battle between following Christ and following the world. It's impossible to do both. So many Christians are trying to straddle the fence by loving God and the world at the same time. Can I do that? No. You will be miserable. Give you a good illustration. You got 20 years of marriage here. Now, brother, can you love her and love another woman at the same time? No, you'd be straddling the fence. Somebody's going to be unhappy, namely you. Especially when they hit you upside the head. Amen. Brother Scott can't love his wife and somebody else.
That's right.
I can't love my wife and somebody else. No more than you can love God and love the world at the same time. It's an impossibility. You're trying to straddle the fence, yet many Christians are trying to straddle that fence and falling left and right on this side or the other side, and their lives are up and down and unpredictable. And they're like that broken tooth and that foot out of joint. You can't have any confidence in them. They're unfaithful. Because we're trying to do that which we're not called to do. And so it's an impossibility. No, you're not. The Bible says down in James 4:4, friendship of the world is enmity with God. Friendship means fondness. Fondness of the world is enmity with God, or hatred or hostility with God. And so when you look at what's going on here, the world is this organized system. It says friendship of the world. There's several designations for the world. I'll give you several of those. But Satan has organized a system. And in this system called the world, its design and its designation is to keep you from doing the will of God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Point and blank. The world's design is to keep you from doing the will of God, whatever the will of God may be for your life. That is its primary purpose, because God has a will for your life. Satan knows that.
Yep.
And so Satan creates this system called the world. And the world is going to keep you from doing the will of God.
Right.
Now, what is the world composed of? The media.
The media.
Music. Magazines.
TV.
Music. All those things. And money.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be rich now.
And
so the media is out there, the magazines are out there, the music is out there, all the money is out there. And Satan says, here it is, have what you want. And our flesh says, ooh, I want some of that.
Yeah.
I want some money.
Exactly.
But to get the money, I got to go outside the will of God.
Yes, sir, we do.
If I listen to the media, it's going to take me outside the will of God.
Yes.
If I listen to the music, it's going to take me outside the will of God. Mm-hmm. If I read certain magazines, it's going to take me out of the will of God. And so Satan organized this system of movies, magazines, music, media, money, all to keep us from the will of God. And so it says down there, friendship of the world, of the music of the devil, of the music and the magazines and the money of the world is going to be hatred against God. Why? It's taking me from doing the will of God. Taking me from doing the will of God. Now, by the way, the Bible uses the word world in three different basic ways. World being the planet Earth. World being the people on the earth. And then number three, world being Satan's system that he has set up. That those three basic designations. However, there's several others that I want you to look at here real quick. Here, just for a few minutes here. Go over to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. Because again, if we're going to get the victory over the world, we've got to know that we have the victory already. We just have to claim it. And Satan wants to get us so wrapped up in the world that we can't get there. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. Who's got that? Can read that for me. First, that Brusty. Amen. Set the world upon them. So that word world there actually means the earth or the globe. The actual little word comes from the word cosmos, which means decorative things or orderly things. Next one here, and that is going to be in Mark 16:15, which we all know of. Mark 16:15. Some of us can probably quote that one. Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every what? Creature. So we know that word world there, Mark 16:15, means the people of the world or where people live. But then there's another designation as well. Go over to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Did everybody get to Mark 16:15 already? Okay. Go over to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. If you're doing your Bible reading through the year, you probably just read over this not too long ago. Luke 2, 1. Maybe somebody read that. Who's got that? Luke 2, 1. Bev, go ahead and read that one. All right. Now, all the world should be taxed. Now, another designation of the world. Now, by the way, looking at this, does Caesar Augustus have the authority to tax the entire world? So we can count out that he's not talking about the entire globe. Who does Caesar Augustus have the authority to tax? To tax. Who does Caesar Augustus have the authority to tax? The Roman Empire. So this word world then wouldn't be all of the world, but all of the Roman Empire.
Right.
All of the Roman Empire. So when it says all the world, that means all of the Roman Empire under his authority, he can tax. So we know the world has a different word. World has a different designation. Doesn't always mean the people of the world. Doesn't mean the planet. Doesn't always mean the worldly system. Now he's talking about all of the people that are under the jurisdiction of Rome. Okay. Let's give you another one here. Go over to Acts chapter 19, verse 27. Acts chapter 19 and verse 27. Who's got Acts 19, 27? Can read that for me. Acts 19, 27. Who is there? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and read that. Amen. All Asia and who? The world worship. Okay. Now, again, does the entire world worship this goddess? No. So who's worshiping this goddess? Basically, the Greeks and the Greek culture. Those underneath the Greek culture. Now, there could be other nationalities. But those that are underneath the culture of Greece are worshiping her. So he says, hey, look, all the world knows this in 1927. So when you look at that, all in the world whom all Asia and the world worship. So everybody that's under the Greek culture, whether it's in Asia or wherever, is worshiping this way. So again, not talking about all the peoples, not talking about the earth, not talking about the world system, but these people. Okay. Give you another one. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And Hebrews chapter 6, notice verse number 5. Hebrews 6, 5. Who's got Hebrews 6, 5? Rose? Okay, notice that one. Read it again, Rose. The world to come. Now, this is a different one altogether.
Yes, sir, it is.
Now, this is not talking about the planet. This one is not talking about the people. And this is not talking about Satan's system. This is actually talking about a time period. What did he say over there? Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the what?
World.
Did he mean the destruction of the world? No, to the end of the age,
yes, sir,
which is the same designation here for world, the end of the age. This is an age. This is a time period. So he says the powers of the world to come. This is talking about the heavenly New Jerusalem that's to come. There's going to be a time period when that's going to happen.
Amen.
And so when you talk about the world to come here, this is a new physical place at a new time with a new way of life. This is totally different from the other designations.
That's right.
All right. Give you one more here and we're going to have to quit. And this one that you already know. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the what? World. That's the name of the people that he gave his only begotten son. We know that one. God so loved the world. Satan's system. Go to John 8:23. John 8:23. Notice what the Bible reads here. As a matter of fact, I'll step it back up to verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this what? World. I am not of this world. Again, that's talking about Satan's world system. That's the system that he set up. That's the mindset. That's the ideology that Satan has set up. He says, you are of this ideology. You are of this world. I am not. I am not. Amazing. Go over to Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this what?
World.
According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So in other words, he's saying that you were a puppet of the devil. He pulled your strings like Pinocchio and you walked. You weren't a real boy yet. Amen. And so whatever he made you do, you danced, you picked up your arm, pick up your leg. He said, work for money and miss church. Guess what? He had you going. He said, hey, stay out of church. He had you going. Don't read your Bible. He had you going. Go to sleep. Be mean. He had you going. Listen to bad music. He had you. Hey, look at these magazines. Look at these movies. He had you.
Yes, sir. He did, Pastor.
According to the prayer. He had you. By the way, some he still has right now. The prince of the power of the air, he said, look, you were a puppet, and what he said you did because you were on his territory.
Mm-hmm.
And on his territory, guess what? He rules.
Yes, sir, he does.
You can't go into the world and talk and call yourself going to rule.
That's right.
You got to step out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, can you operate in the world? Yes, but we're not of the world.
That's right, Pastor.
When you're in the world, but not of the world, the Spirit of God can control you. Was Jesus in the world? Yes, he was.
Yes.
Was he of the world? No, he wasn't. That's why he could do what he did.
That's right.
And that's why we can do what we can do because of the power. James 1:27, going to be our last verse. James 1:27. And if somebody is there, raise your hand. You can read that. James 1:27. Who's got James 1:27? James Rose. Uh unspotted or untainted from the world or the world system. He said, that's pure religion. Amen. We're talking about what religion are you? If you want to get a religion, there's one right there. Keep yourself unspotted from the world or the world system. Don't get caught up with it. Don't let it take you. Why? We have victory over the world. How are we going to get this victory? I'm already a born again child of God. How am I going to get this victory? Now I've got to keep the commands of God. What are the commands? Love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. That's going to keep me away from the world. What else? Love my brother as myself. I'm going to help assist my brother as well. And with the power of where my faith is at in the word of God, now I can escape the allurements and the attractions of the world. If I'm full of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, keeping the word of God. The minute I stop keeping the word of God is the minute I slip back into the world. It's just a fact of the matter. And so all of us are going to struggle with this from time to time, just because of the basic fact that it is a struggle. Notice the overview again. Christians are leaving their faith for the love of the world. All of us need to be aware of the battle between following Christ and following the world. It is impossible to do both. And that's why most Christians struggle. They got one foot in the world, one hand on the world, one hand in heaven, one hand on the things of God, and they're trying to straddle. And guess what? Like any tug of war, somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to lose. And so our memory verse for next week is going to be James 4:4, which should be right down there in your books. James 4:4. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, or hatred or hostility with God. And that's going to be our verse for next week. Amen. Notice down there your lesson theme. Gaining victory over the world system that operates in opposition to God requires a real and growing faith. By the way, we're going to talk about that next week, a real and a growing faith. Why does it have to be a real faith, and why does it have to be a growing faith? We'll talk about that next week, amen. James 4:4 is going to be our memory verse, amen. Refreshments are next door. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for our guests, Lord, coming from Arkansas. Lord, thank you for the 30 years of wedding anniversary vows, Lord. And we just pray now that you bless refreshments next door. Our fellowship one with another. Lord, as we go into the morning service, help us to be really aware of what you want to do in our lives, Lord, so that we can have this battle won over the world, Lord, not allowing our flesh to be attracted. Thank you so much for loving us. Meet our need today in Jesus' name. Amen.